WBOB.
Welcome to another edition of Hey Doc. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, Medical Director and Physician at Southside Medical Center, right here in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm your host for the next half hour. With me today is my co-host and wife, Carmen Lasky, a certified EMT. Together, we hope that you will find the show informative, educational, as well as entertaining. Carmen and I would like to start today's show with a very important topic. One that may affect you. And if you're a truck driver, as many of my patients are, I'll bet that you've had this problem at least once in your career. I'm talking about lack of sleep. Not just insomnia, but simply getting less than ideal amounts of sleep daily and for long periods of time. Now, why is this so important? Well, many studies have linked the decrease in the amount of sleep that we get to poor health. And some even link the lack of sleep to cancer. That's right, lack of sleep may be carcinogenic. But before we even get into a discussion of lack of sleep, I want you to do something for me. Well, actually it is for your benefit. If you have a smartphone, go to the settings and turn on the blue light filter, which is sometimes called the comfort button, but do it right now before you forget, or at least look for it now to find that button.
On the iPhone, it is called night shift, but you can actually go even deeper into turning on night shift on the iPhone. So if you want to really get rid of blue light on the iPhone, Dr. Lasky is going to tell you what you can do.
Go into settings, scroll down to general, then to accessibility on the bottom. Go to display accommodations and color filters. Turn it on. Make sure the intensity is all the way up and the hue all the way to the left. You can use any color, but red is the best way to protect your circadian rhythms and get good sleep at night. Blue light is good for our human bodies and brain reaction in the daytime, but it is bad for humans and our biological clocks at night.
Apart from eye strain, blue light can negatively affect health by suppressing melatonin production, which directly creates sleep disorders. Worse still, it may contribute to the causation of cancer, diabetes, heart disease, and obesity.
We as human beings keep on spending hours on our computers and other digital devices. Computer eye problems can come from eye fatigue. And computer vision syndrome has a big relationship with blue light, which has been admitted from most digital devices, such as TVs, computer displays, iPhones, iPads, Kindle devices, and our Android smartphones. So now we can segue into the main topic of today's show, and it's also the topic of this month's National Geographic magazine.
What happens to us when we sleep? What happens to our brains when we sleep? And later, we will talk about the consequences of not getting sleep.
During sleep, we apparently become most entirely paralyzed. We can't even shiver. Our eyes, however, periodically dart about behind closed lids as if we are truly seeing. Not only that, the tiny muscles in our middle ear, even in silence, move as though hearing. And both men and women can be sexually stimulated. We sometimes believe we can even fly. I bet you've had that experience, as most of us have, during our dreams.
For thousands of years, sleep was a mystery. However, in the mid-1920s, Dr. Hans Berger, a German scientist, invented the EEG, or electroencephalograph.
This little machine records electrical activity in the brain. Now, this invention really began the study of the science of sleep. Now we even have imaging machines that can look into the brain's inner workings. As recently as 2017, the Nobel Prize in Medicine was awarded to three scientists who in the 1980s and 90s identified the molecular clock inside our cells that aims to keep us in sync with the sun.
When this circadian rhythm, as it is called, breaks down, we are at increased risk for illnesses such as diabetes, heart disease, and dementia.
Yet our lifestyles are often at odds with the sun's cycle, and the average American today sleeps less than 7 hours a night, about 2 hours less than a century ago. Now, I spoke with many of my patients during the week and mentioned what we were going to talk about on today's Hey Doc Show. I mentioned that we as Americans generally do not even get 7 hours of sleep. Most of my patients were surprised. Not that we don't get 7 hours of sleep. They were surprised that we even get as much as 7 hours. Many said they're lucky if they get a total of 6 hours of sleep daily.
This decrease in daily sleep time is probably due to increase in artificial lighting, as well as our daily use of TVs, computers, and smartphones.
Many of us wish that we did not even need sleep. The average lifespan is about 78 years. Let's look at sleep times that are considered necessary for various age groups. Going from newborns, well, they get around 15 hours of daily sleep. Infants with 13 to 14 hours average daily. We go through toddlers, preschoolers, teens, young adults, adults, and those over 65. We should all average a little over one-third of our lives sleeping. I emphasize the word should, as most of us simply don't. We guzzle coffee and other caffeinated drinks to stay awake. There are several stages to good sleep.
As we fall asleep, our brain stays active and goes into editing mode. By this we mean that our brains begin determining which memories to keep and which ones to forget.
So we turn off the lights and lie in bed and shut our eyes. If everything goes well, then our circadian rhythm, which is connected to the flow of light to dark, and our pineal gland, which starts pumping melatonin, go to work, bringing us to the next stage of sleep. In the brain, there are billions of nerve cells, actually around 86 billion of them in the brain. These neurons communicate with each other through electrical and chemical signals.
During our wake times, the EEG shows us how erratic are these electrical changes being made. However, as sleep comes, they fire evenly and rhythmically. You can see this on the EEG as neat ripple lines. It indicates that the brain has turned inward, away from the chaos of waking life.
At the same time, our sensory receptors are muffled and soon wear asleep. Now this ends stage one, which should last, around 5 minutes. Then ascending from deep in the brain comes a series of electrical sparks that zap our cerebral cortex, which happens to cover the outer layer of the brain, and that happens to be the home of language and consciousness. When this happens, we've entered stage two. Now, contrary to what we've been taught in the past, our brains aren't less active when we sleep, just differently active. These electrical stimuli during stage two may actually stimulate the cortex in such a way as to preserve recently acquired information and maybe link it to our long-term memories.
Studies have shown that the more new tasks, both mental or physical, that a person has had during the day, the more electrical activity will be seen and the better that they will perform those tasks the next day.
Now, you've probably heard the term, I'll sleep on that problem. The strength of one's nightly electrical activity might even be a predictor of general intelligence.
Sleep literally makes connections you might never have consciously formed. The sleeping brain is optimized for consolidating information, while the waking brain is optimized for collecting external stimuli.
You could say that at night, that is, we switch from recording to editing. So the sleeping brain actively takes care of which memories to keep and which to forget. Unfortunately, the brain doesn't necessarily choose wisely. Sleep reinforces our memory so powerfully that it might be best, for example, if exhausted soldiers returning from harrowing missions did not go directly to bed. To forestall post-traumatic stress disorder, the soldiers should really remain awake for 6 to 8 hours, at least according to neuroscientist Gina Poe of the University of California at Los Angeles. Research seems to indicate that sometime soon after a major event, before some of the ordeal is mentally resolved, is more likely to turn the experience into long-term memories.
Stage 2 can last up to 15 minutes during the night's first 90-minute sleep cycle. This electrical activity can arrive every few seconds for a while, But when these eruptions taper off, our heart rate slows and our core temperature drops.
Then, any remaining awareness of the external environment disappears. It's now time to enter.
It is an area which we call the Twilight Zone.
No, not the Twilight Zone, but, well, maybe yes. Anyway, it's time to enter stage 3, the beginning stage of deep sleep. This deep coma-like sleep is essential to our brain. This is when general housekeeping is done, not dreaming.
Every animal, without exception, exhibits at least a primitive form of sleep. While giraffes sleep less than 5 hours a day, horses typically sleep part of the night standing up, lying down.
Recently, studies show that dolphins sleep one hemisphere at a time. That is, one half the brain sleeps, while the other half is awake. Now, this is important, allowing them to swim continuously. Remember that they're air-breathing mammals. They live underwater. They need to surface every few minutes to get air. They also have to be aware of their surroundings at all times, watching out for predators like sharks.
Even jellyfish sleep as do one-cell organisms such as plankton and yeast. New memories are consolidated during deep sleep, that is, in stages 3 and 4.
During this stage, the EEG shows big rolling delta waves. Now, these waves are even more prevalent in stage 4. And it's during these stages of deep sleep that our cells produce most growth hormone, which is needed throughout life to service bones as well as muscles. A very important finding has been that sleep may be essential for maintaining a healthy immune system, as well as body temperature and blood pressure. Without enough sleep, we simply cannot regulate our moods well or recover swiftly from injuries. Sleep may, in fact, be more essential to us than food. Remember, animals will die of sleep deprivation before starvation.
Good sleep likely also reduces one's risk of developing dementia while you are awake. Your nerve cells are packed tightly together.
But when you're asleep, some brain cells deflate by 60% and thus widen the spaces between them.
These intercellular spaces are dumping grounds for the cells' metabolic waste, especially a substance called beta-amyloid, which disrupts communication between neurons and is closely linked to Alzheimer's.
Only during sleep can spinal fluid slosh like detergent through these broader hallways of our brain, washing the beta-amyloid away. Sleep happens to be crucial in children. It is during this period of sleep when most growth hormone and infection-fighting proteins are released. We mentioned that during the deep sleep, the brain's housekeeping chores are performed. It is also during this time that your muscles are fully relaxed and mental activity is at its minimal level.
It is interesting to note that the brain waves produced in a stage 5 sleep are similar to the brain patterns produced by coma patients.
Now, you might think that dreams come during this period of deep sleep, but you'd be wrong. We do not typically dream during stage 4. We may not even be able to feel pain during this stage. At most, we can remain in stage 4 for only about 30 minutes before the brain kicks itself out.
Even healthy sleepers wake several times at night, so most simply do not realize or notice it. We drop back to sleep in a matter of seconds.
Rather than repeating the stages again, the brain then resets itself for something entirely new. A trip into the truly bizarre.
This is a great time to tell you about Southside Medical Center. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, and I've been the medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center for the past 29 years. We're located at 3604 Southside Boulevard, just 2 blocks south of the Beach Boulevard intersection between the Pottsburg Post Office and the Tulsa Welding School. We will treat your pains, sprains, and strains. Our practice emphasizes chronic pain management as well as anti-aging medicine. We also have an office-based substance treatment program for those who need it. Southside Medical Center is open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. If you would like to make an appointment or ask any questions about Southside Medical Center, please call us at 641-4411. That's 641-4411. Southside Medical Center, where your health is our primary care.
Welcome back to the Hey Doc Show. Carmen and I have been talking about sleep. And now, it's time for a little bit of a rest. Ha ha, just kidding.
We started the show mentioning circadian rhythms. There are two processes that occur. The first is called sleep pressure, which is thought to be created by sleep-promoting substances that actually accumulate in the brain during the waking hours. It is the circadian rhythm, which you might even call our internal clock, that keeps your brain and body in sync with the sun. The clock can be set backwards or forward by light.
We are particularly sensitive to blue light, which is very abundant in midday, sunlight, and on our computer screens. The problem occurs when blue light is abundant at night, when we need the dark to provide the outside cue to go to sleep.
There are blue light-sensitive receptors in our brains that set our circadian clock to night or day. They also gather subtle light information from rods and cones. Remember those from our previous radio show a couple of weeks ago? The bluer and brighter the light, the more likely it is to suppress melatonin release.
Melanin, as you probably remember, helps promote sleep, so when there is increased blue light, melanin is not available, and we have difficulty sleeping.
According to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, more than 80 million American adults are chronically sleep-deprived, meaning they sleep less than the recommended minimum of 7 hours a night. And this should be of major concern to everyone, not just the people who suffer from sleep loss. Fatigue contributes to more than 1 million auto accidents each year, as well as to a significant number of medical errors. Think of this fact. The Monday after a daylight savings time change in the U.S., there's a 24% increase in heart attacks compared with other Mondays, and a jump in fatal car crashes as well.
During our lifetimes, about a third of us will suffer from at least one diagnosable sleep disorder. They range from chronic insomnia to sleep apnea to restless leg syndrome to much rarer and stranger conditions.
There are a number of medically interesting sleep-related diseases or problems. For example, in exploding head syndrome, booming sounds seem to reverberate in your brain as you try to sleep.
Then there is a sleep paralysis, where the sufferer is unable to move for a few minutes after awakening from the dream state.
Those with Klein-Levin syndrome will, every few years, sleep nearly nonstop for a week or two. Luckily, they return to regular cycles of consciousness without any discernible side effects. But the most common sleep disorder remains insomnia. 4% of all U.S. adults take sleeping pills in any given month. Now, insomnia is not just one problem. Some insomniacs, well, they take longer to fall asleep, while others just wake up for prolonged periods during the night. Or, and many, suffer both problems.
Cost-wise, it is greater than technology has made lighting much less costly with the development of the LED light. They are more energy efficient, but they tend to produce a lot of blue light.
You know, evolution endowed us like other creatures with sleep that is malleable in its timing and readily interruptible, so it can be subordinated to higher priorities. For example, the brain, it seems, has a type of override system which operates in all stages of sleep. It can wake us when it perceives an emergency, such as a child's cry or the sound of an approaching predator. But here lies the problem. In this modern world, our innate wake-up call is constantly triggered by non-life-threatening situations, like anxiety before an examination, worries about finances, or every car alarm in the neighborhood.
Many people are proud of the fact that they can fall asleep quickly just about anywhere. The problem is that this can be a sign, especially if you are less than 40 years old, that you are acutely sleep-deprived.
So what happens when we do not get enough sleep? Well, at first, the prefrontal cortex of the brain is affected. Now, this is the area of decision-making and problem-solving. Those that are sleep-deprived are very often irritable, moody, and irrational. Literally, every cognitive function is affected by sleep loss. As a matter of fact, sleep-deprived suspects held by the police will often confess to anything in exchange for rest. Anyone who regularly sleeps less than six hours a night has an elevated risk of depression, psychosis,
and stroke.
Are you overweight? With lack of sleep, the stomach and other organs overproduce the hunger hormone called ghrelin. This causes us to eat more than we need.
People have often tried what they call power napping, but this simply doesn't work. Now, we have not yet even touched on dreaming.
In a wild state of psychosis, we are dreaming, we are flying, and we are falling. Whether we remember it or not, we are also regulating our mood and consolidating our memories.
During sleep periods, one can observe rapid eye movements, and this is called REM sleep, R-E-M sleep. After it was first discovered, it was understood that virtually all vivid dreaming takes place in this particular phase. Generally, a healthy sleep begins with a spiral down to stage 4, then a momentary return to wakefulness followed by a 5 to 20 minute REM session. With each ensuing cycle, REM time roughly doubles. Now, overall, REM sleep occupies about one-fifth of the total rest time in adults. Now, we consider stage 1 to 4 to be non-REM sleep. And sleep scientists speculate that specific sequences of non-REM and REM sleep somehow optimize our physical and mental recuperation.
In our cells, protein synthesis peaks during REM sleep, keeping the body working properly. REM sleep also seems essential for regulating mood and consolidating memories.
Every time we experience REM sleep, we literally go mad.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time.
We often define psychosis as a condition characterized by hallucinations and delusions. So some sleep scientists say dreaming is simply a psychotic state.
Think about it. In our dreams, we fully believe that we see what it is not there, and we accept that time, location, and people themselves can morph and disappear without warning. Often we can fly in our dreams.
When light seeps through our eyelids and touches our retinas, a signal is sent to a deep brain region called the suprachiasmatic nucleus. This is the time for many of us that our last dream dissolves. We open our eyes and we awaken.
A proverb from my past. Something to remember. God didn't rest on the seventh day. God rested when the job was done.
If you or any of your family members have been prescribed any medication that are being rejected or denied at the pharmacy, and you feel that the medication is both appropriate and medically necessary, then you need to make your voice known. Contact your state and federal representatives and tell them what's happening. It is only with this that we can right the wrongs that are being perpetrated on a large part of our citizenry and their human rights when they are denied appropriate and necessary treatment.
I'd like you, our listeners, to know that I am one of several physicians right here in the Jacksonville area that has received the certification to recommend medical marijuana to those patients with certain qualifying diagnoses. These now include amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, cancer, Crohn's disease, epilepsy, glaucoma, HIV/AIDS, seizure disorders, chronic muscle spasms, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, PTSD, a terminal condition, as well as other ailments and conditions, including certain diseases with chronic or long-term pain. For more information, you can call our office at 641-4411. We've also set up a website for our Medical Marijuana Society at www.medmarsoc.com. That's www.medmarsoc.com. We have also set up a special website at CompassionateCareJax.com, where you can get a whole lot more information on medical marijuana. You can also set up an appointment for an office visit to Southside Medical Center right on the website. Again, that website is CompassionateCareJax.com. Well, we've come to the end of another Hey Doc show. Carmen and I hope that you've enjoyed the past half hour and have found it interesting, educational, and maybe just a little bit entertaining.
So, from all of us here at Southside Medical Center, have a happy and healthy weekend. Goodbye.